Today is the 13th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we bring another week that we get to share together to a close. And we approach the middle of another month. And we continue to watch the seasons change depending on where we are, or we get settled into the beginning of the warmer weather, which is what happens here in the rolling hills of Tennessee. And it is an honor that we can come together and gather around the global campfire and step forward together. And our next step forward will lead us back into the book of 1 Samuel and the life and times of Israel's first king, King Saul. Today, 1 Samuel chapter 14. Then one day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to the Philistine garrison that is opposite us." But he did not let his father know. Now Saul was sitting under a pomegranate tree in Migron, on the outskirts of Gibeah. The army that was with him numbered about 600 men. Now Ahijah was carrying an ephod. He was the son of Ahitub, who was the brother of Ichabod and a son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh. The army was unaware that Jonathan had left. Now there was a steep cliff on each side of the pass through which Jonathan intended to go to reach the Philistine garrison. One cliff was named Bozez, the other Sine. The cliff to the north was closer to Michmash, the one to the south closer to Geba. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will intervene for us. Nothing can prevent the Lord from delivering, whether by many or by few." His armor bearer said to him, "Do everything that is on your mind. Do as you are inclined. I'm with you all the way." Jonathan replied, "All right, we'll go over to these men and fight them. If they say to us, 'Stay put until we approach you,' we will stay right there and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up against us,' we will go up. For in that case, the Lord has given them into our hand. It will be a sign to us." When they made themselves known to the Philistine garrison, the Philistine said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes in which they hid themselves." Then the men of the garrison said to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come on up to us so we can teach you a thing or two." Then Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up behind me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan crawled up on his hands and feet, with his armor bearer following behind him. Jonathan struck down the Philistines, while his armor bearer came along behind him and killed them. In this initial skirmish, Jonathan and his armor bearer struck down about 20 men in an area that measured half an acre. Then fear overwhelmed those who were in the camp, those who were in the field, all the army and the garrison and the raiding bands. They trembled and the ground shook. This fear was caused by God. Saul's watchmen at Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin looked on as the crowds of soldiers seemed to melt away, first in one direction and then in another. So Saul said to the army that was with him, "Muster the troops and see who is no longer with us." When they mustered the troops, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. So Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring near the ephod," for he was at that time wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. While Saul spoke to the priest, the panic in the Philistines' camp was becoming greater and greater. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Saul and all the army assembled and marched into battle, where they found the Philistines in total panic, killing one another with their swords. The Hebrews, who had earlier gone over to the Philistine side, joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden themselves in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines had fled, they too pursued them in battle. So the Lord delivered Israel that day, and the battle shifted over to Beth-Aven. Now the men of Israel were hard-pressed that day, for Saul had made the army agree to this oath: "Cursed be the man who eats food before evening. I will get my vengeance on my enemies." So no one in the army ate anything. Now the whole army entered the forest, and there was honey on the ground. When the army entered the forest, they saw the honey flowing, but no one ate any of it, for the army was afraid of the oath. But Jonathan had not heard about the oath his father had made the army take. He extended the end of his staff that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb. When he ate it, his eyes gleamed. Then someone from the army informed him, "Your father put the army under a strict oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man who eats food today.' That is why the army is tired." Then Jonathan said, "My father has caused trouble for the land. See how my eyes gleamed when I tasted just a little of this honey. Certainly, if the army had eaten some of the enemy's provisions that they came across today, would not the slaughter of the Philistines have been even greater?" On that day, the army struck down the Philistines from Michmash to Aijalon, and they became very tired. So the army rushed greedily on the plunder, confiscating sheep, cattle, and calves. They slaughtered them right on the ground, and the army ate them, blood and all. Now it was reported to Saul, "Look, the army is sinning against the Lord by eating even the blood." He said, "All of you have broken the covenant. Roll a large stone over here to me." Then Saul said, "Scatter out among the army and say to them, 'Each of you bring to me your ox and sheep and slaughter them in this spot and eat. But don't sin against the Lord by eating the blood.'" So that night, each one brought his ox and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar for the Lord. It was the first time he had built an altar for the Lord. Saul said, "Let's go down after the Philistines at night. We will rout them until the break of day. We won't leave any of them alive." They replied, "Do whatever seems best to you." But the priest said, "Let's approach God here." So Saul asked God, "Should I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he did not answer him that day. Then Saul said, "All you leaders of the army, come here. Find out how this sin occurred today. For as surely as the Lord, the deliverer of Israel, lives, even if it turns out to be my own son Jonathan, he will certainly die." But no one from the army said anything. Then he said to all Israel, "You will be on one side, and I and my son Jonathan will be on the other side." The army replied to Saul, "Do whatever you think is best." Then Saul said, "O Lord God of Israel, if this sin has been committed by me or by my son Jonathan, then, O Lord God of Israel, respond with Urim. But if this sin has been committed by your people Israel, respond with Thummim." Then Jonathan and Saul were indicated by lot, while the army was exonerated. Then Saul said, "Cast the lot between me and my son Jonathan." Jonathan was indicated by lot. So Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." Jonathan told him, "I used the end of the staff that was in my hand to taste a little honey. I must die." Saul said, "God will punish me severely if Jonathan doesn't die." But the army said to Saul, "Should Jonathan, who won this great victory in Israel, die? May it never be. As surely as the Lord lives, not a single hair of his head will fall to the ground, for it is with the help of God that he has acted today." So the army rescued Jonathan from death. Then Saul stopped chasing the Philistines, and the Philistines went back home. After Saul had secured his royal position over Israel, he fought against all their enemies on all sides. The Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. In every direction that he turned, he was victorious. He fought bravely, striking down the Amalekites and delivering Israel from the hand of its enemies. The sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua. He had two daughters. The older one was named Merab, and the younger, Michal. The name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. The name of the general in command of his army was Abner, son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. There was fierce war with the Philistines all the days of Saul. So whenever Saul saw anyone who was a warrior or a brave individual, he would conscript him. John 7, 31 through 53. Yet many of the crowd believed in him and said, "Whenever the Christ comes, he won't perform more miraculous signs than this man did, will he?" The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things about Jesus, so the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Then Jesus said, "I will be with you for only a little while longer, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." Then the Jewish leaders said to one another, "Where is he going to go that we cannot find him? He is not going to go to the Jewish people dispersed among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, is he? What did he mean by saying, 'You will look for me, but will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and shouted out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. Just as the scripture says, from within him will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the crowd began to say, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But still others said, "No, for the Christ doesn't come from Galilee, does he? Don't the scriptures say that the Christ is a descendant of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So there was a division in the crowd because of Jesus. Some of them were wanting to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Then the officers returned to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why didn't you bring him back with you?" The officers replied, "No one ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered, "You haven't been deceived too, have you? None of the members of the ruling council or the Pharisees have believed in him, have they? But this rabble, who do not know the law, are accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before and was one of the rulers, said, "Our law doesn't condemn a man unless it first hears from him and learns what he is doing, does it?" They replied, "You aren't from Galilee too, are you? Investigate carefully and you will see that no prophet comes from Galilee." And each one departed to his own house. Psalm 109. For the music director, the Psalm of David. O God, whom I praise, do not ignore me. For they say cruel and deceptive things to me. They lie to me. They surround me and say hateful things. They attack me for no reason. They repay my love with accusations, but I continue to pray. They repay me evil for good and hate for love. Appoint an evil man to testify against him. May an accuser stand at his right side. When he is judged, he will be found guilty, and his prayer will be regarded as sinful. May his days be few. May another take his job. May his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. May his children roam around begging, asking for handouts as they leave their ruined home. May the creditor seize all he owns. May strangers loot his property. May no one show him kindness. May no one have compassion on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off. May the memory of them be wiped out by the time the next generation arrives. May his ancestors' sins be remembered by the Lord. May his mother's sin not be forgotten. May the Lord be constantly aware of them and cut off the memory of his children from the earth. For he never bothered to show kindness. He harassed the oppressed and needy and killed the disheartened. He loved to curse others, so those curses have come upon him. He had no desire to bless anyone, so he has experienced no blessings. He made cursing a way of life, so curses poured into his stomach like water and seeped into his bones like oil. May a curse attach itself to him, like a garment one puts on or a belt one wears continually. May the Lord repay my accusers in this way, those who say evil things about me. O Sovereign Lord, intervene on my behalf for the sake of your reputation. Because your loyal love is good, deliver me. For I am oppressed and needy, and my heart beats violently within me. I am fading away like a shadow at the end of the day. I am shaken off like a locust. I am so starved, my knees shake. I have turned into skin and bones. I am disdained by them. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God, because you are faithful to me. Deliver me. And they will realize this is your work, and that you, Lord, have accomplished it. They curse, but you will bless. When they attack, they will be humiliated, but your servant will rejoice. My accusers will be covered with shame and draped in humiliation as if it were a robe. I will thank the Lord profusely. In the middle of a crowd, I will praise him, because he stands at the right hand of the needy to deliver them from those who threaten his life. Proverbs 15, 5 through 7. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but whoever heeds reproof shows good sense. In the house of the righteous is abundant wealth, but the income of the wicked will be ruined. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but not so the heart of fools. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week. All of the steps that we've taken day by day until this point in the year. And so you have brought us this far. And we look back over those steps and we see your hand guiding and leading us. We see the way that the scriptures come into our hearts and into our lives and challenge us, inviting us higher, deeper, and we are grateful. And so we thank you for this week that we've been able to spend together, and we look forward to stepping forward into the new week together and doing it again with excitement and anticipation in all of the ways that you will lead and guide us. And so come, Holy Spirit. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. And that is where you can find out what's happening around here. The Daily Audio Bible app can be downloaded from the app store that's connected to your device, and that puts all of it in the app, all in the palm of your hand. So check that out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources that are available for the journey that we are taking together through the Bible in a year. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humble gratitude. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. And we are. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida. And I want to pray for Jung to Treasure's son, for her and her son, whom recently lost his wife and newborn baby in a car accident. And her son saw the incident, maybe not as it has occurred, but once he heard the noise, ran to her, and of course that must have created so much heartache and trauma for him. And so let me pray. Dear Jesus, I cry out to you for Jung to Treasure and her son, whom have deeply lost his wife, her daughter-in-law, her grandchild, his child, Lord. And dear Jesus, only you can bring comfort to this mourning family, God. Only you can console and help them grieve such a painful and tragic loss. Dear Jesus, there are no words to deal with such tragedy. Dear God, I just pray that you would wrap your arms around them and comfort them with your word, encourage them with your spirit, oh Lord God, and that they may have people who love them around them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi, Dab family. This is Lydia from Little Rock. I don't know why I haven't called before today, but here I am finally. I was introduced to Dab in 2018. At that time, I was going through a separation and divorce from my husband of nearly 17 years on account of his drug addiction and verbal and emotional abuse. I was really struggling at that time when my sister encouraged me to start listening to Dab and the word, being able to listen to the word and the prayers of this community. It carried me through that dark trial. Then this past February, Van from Virginia, you called on February 4th and you prayed for parents who were grieving. Your prayer was aired on February 9th. February 9th was my son's birthday. And this year was the first year we weren't able to see him age up. He would have been 19. He was murdered last summer. Your prayer came at the perfect time for this mama's heart. It was a balm to my soul and an assurance of God's providence and care for us. Thank you. Blind Tony, I can't even express how much I love your poems. Thank you for your faithfulness to encourage with your talents. Bridgefield from New York, I am thankful for your heart, thankful for justice, and thankful with your expressed sadness and hopefulness for Michael Shooter. I will pray along with you for his repentance and also for the children growing up without a dad. I'm on this journey with you. Thank you, family.
Hello, family. This is Biola from Maryland. Hope you're all doing well. Brian and Jill, God bless you. God bless your ministry. I am calling in response to some prayer requests, one by Sherlock for his friend Bill. Father, Lord, I thank you for the success of the surgery. Lord, we're trusting you for speedy healing, oh God, for Bill. In the name of Jesus, Lord of heaven, I come against any kind of infection, oh God, and I use Bill as a point of contact to everyone within the Daily Audio Bible family who is undergoing surgery or has undergone surgery. Father, Lord, I pray for healing, supernatural intervention in their situation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, junk to treasure, I heard the prayer request that your friend gave. I pray that the Lord will wrap his arms around you and your family, around your son, around your daughter-in-law's family, and will comfort you at this difficult time. The Lord says that blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He expects us to grieve, and I pray that in your grief, that the Lord will hold you close and hold you dear, and he will wrap you in his arms and just comfort your hearts in the name of Jesus. And then I want to pray, keeper of men, I want to pray for Angel and also the Dina, your friend. I'm praying that the Lord will touch their bodies. Father, Lord, I pray that you will bring their pain levels under control in the name of Jesus. I pray that whatever medication they're giving to them will be tools of correction in their bodies in Jesus' name. Lord, above all, I pray that you will touch both of them, that you will heal them, that you will have mercy on them, oh God, Lord, that you, as we cry out to you on their behalf, that you will hear our cry in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Daily Audio Bible is a blessing to me. What I studied today is about Eli. Do not take God for granted. Inasmuch as he loves you, he can chastise you. Don't take him for granted. Don't cut corners, and nothing is hidden before God. When anything is wrong, it is wrong before man and God. Always make corrections. Always make corrections. Don't take God for granted. He placed a curse on Eli's family, and the family was ruined. And this is the same family that has served the Lord in every capacity. But Eli took God for granted. He didn't chastise his children. He didn't rebuke them from all their wrongs. This applies to us as human beings as well. We have to be careful. God cannot be mocked. Do not take God for granted.
Good morning, divers. This is John Okara from calling in from South Sudan. I've just heard a lady from Canada who called in to pray for me specifically. My sister, I will not tell you how much it meant to me that you remembered to pray, especially at this time of crisis in our neighboring country. Now, South Sudan and Sudan used to be the same country, but as of 9 July 2011, South Sudan became independent country. Independent from Sudan. Now, because they used to be the same country, conflict in either of the countries have a way of spilling over. And this is the reason why I am so grateful that you remembered to pray for me and for all the other believers that are all over the place. Thank you so much, and may God continue to bless the DAB family, the Harding family. and everyone that is involved in this endeavor. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, my daily audio Bible family. This is David Browning calling from Savannah, Georgia. It's May 6th, and I'm calling because after today's reading, the first prayer request I heard was for, oh, my heart's broken, for Junk Treasure and her family, that they lost, that her son lost his wife and his newborn baby. My heart's broken for you. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the loving arms of Jesus to just surround you and your family and let you know that you are loved and that He knows. Our Father knows your pain. He knows your grief. And I know your grief. And I'm praying for you every single day. I love you. And I pray for healing for you. And that's all I can say. Love you.